Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13.
Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, If they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today after so long a time, as it is said, Today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
In the last verse of the chapter 3, we see the men closed the door of salvation by faithlessness. In Matthew 7:13-27, our Lord is teaching us not to exchange our fellowship in the Spirit of Christ now and for the entire eternity for the evil path of disobedience. Preferring anything above Christ is a total loss. Matthew 10:37-38. Verse number 1, Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And in the verse number 3, For we who have believed do enter into rest, as he said, and so on. Persisting in disobedience, we can only receive the reward for rebellion, here and in eternity. Human self-pride is only foolishness. Slackness in responding to our Lord's bidding deprives us of resting in Him, who is our only true peace. We rest in Him when we labor in His Spirit. We need not worry that our Lord is going to fail in anything. We can rest in Him assured of His loving care. We have every reason to fear our negligence and disloyalty. The verse number 2, For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit to them, not being received with faith by them that did hear it. The gospel of salvation in Christ, the Son of the Almighty God, is one from the beginning to the end of the book. Jesus Christ is God's living Word. Since Abel the righteous, until the Lord's appearance in glory, all the saved are redeemed by the same Lamb of God. The safe proof of personal salvation has always been obedience to God's revealed Word. Trusting and obeying the Lord is the way of salvation. Penitent and obedient are saved by Christ's grace. In Matthew 24:37-44, the Lord Jesus is teaching us to judge our own self, lest we be condemned in our disobedience. In John 12, 30 through 32, we learn how much the Father cares for us in loving His beloved Son and all that is Christ in us. This voice of God sounds forth for our sake. Indeed, the whole book is given to us. The judgment time is now. Now is the time to cast out and away the prince of evil with all his darkness. When I lift up the Master to his throne in my heart and life, I am on the path of salvation, and I have received the new life in Christ's Spirit, separated from darkness and destruction, victorious against Satan. Our sanctification and righteousness is not continued in our own strength and wisdom. The power of His Spirit and His loving care is drawing us to Him. Abel was separated from Cain. Noah was separated from the entire world of dead sinners and dead religious people. Abram was separated from his people. Abraham had to separate from Lot. Preaching in Acts 2, Peter exhorted the converts to separate from the camp of evil. In Acts 11:23, we are exhorted to cleave unto the Lord wholeheartedly. In Romans 12:9, we are admonished to abhor evil and in pure love to cleave to that which is good. This is the gospel applied. Verse number 3, we who believed do enter into His rest. Plain and strong faith and growing confidence in our Savior's goodness and might open and enlarge our hearts for greater abundance of His peace. Psalm 119:165 and Isaiah 32:17. As we walk with the Lord toward the heavenly portals, His peace becomes like a river. Verse number 3. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. Nothing can surprise God. He has every blessing ready for His people at His appointed time. Our Heavenly Father has opened the door of salvation and the fountain of living water for us in Christ, the entry into eternal glory of His Father's presence. In the verse number 3, God promised to the unbelieving they shall not enter into His rest. A person persisting in rebellion and rejection of God's grace in Christ could make a long list of excuses and blame even God for personal doom, but truly, every stubborn sinner has chosen self-condemnation. He refused God's grace and peace. In Romans 3, we learn that we have nothing to boast of for our salvation. Nothing but the saving grace of God in Christ our Redeemer. In Romans 11:22, we see that only because of the goodness of God we are not still in the same shackles of sin, darkness, and death as we were as long as we refused His gospel. Verse number 4. God rested on the seventh day from all His works. In Genesis 1:31 to the third verse of the chapter 2, we can read God's pleasure and satisfaction in all His doing. In Colossians 1:12 through 23, we see how the Father created all in His dear Son, through His beloved Son, by His only begotten Son, and for His Son, in whom the Father is pleased. Matthew 3:17, Luke 9:35, and John 12:28. We cannot have God as Father but through the Son, our Savior. In Romans 5:1-2 and Ephesians 2:13-18, we have Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, revealed as our peacemaker for our soul. And as our acceptance in the presence of the Father. Together, this is a divine symphony in Jesus. I pray for the blessing of spiritual hearing to hear each part of the gospel as a heavenly harmony open to us in our Savior and Lord that blends together in a perfect symphony, pleasing the Father perfectly, glorifying the Son eternally, and blessing the redeemed souls endlessly here, now, and in eternity forever. God rested not to recover from exhaustion, but in celebration of the wonderful world He created in, for, and through His Son. The Father and the Son celebrate one another and in one another. Now all that glory is open to us to adore the Father in the Son. Let us strive and pray for the grace to honor God in reverence. Verse 5. The rebels shall not enter into God's rest. Verse 6. Some people must enter therein, not the hearers, but the genuine believers and obedient newborn children of God in Christ the Savior and the Lord. To Him we owe full submission and obedience from the whole heart. We pray to be the ones that must enter in, Luke 14:16-24, especially verse number 23. Amazingly, way before the Messiah appeared in the flesh, the psalmist was inspired by Christ's Spirit to understand the truth. In the Numbers 13 and 14, the rebellion was caused by the hardness of heart, and no testing is too great for the faithful, resting in the Lord, knowing His help and His reward now and after. Before our Lord rescued me from darkness and slavery, my work was sin for sin, Romans 6:16 and 7:5. But now, in the grace of God, His work in me is righteousness and truth. He is cultivating the new man for His good pleasure. If I allow doubts and fear, selfishness and pride to work in my life, I cannot rest in Christ at the same time. To have the true rest in my Savior, I must forsake all deeds of darkness and labor in Christ's Spirit to please the Father, gratefully as His blessings flow upon my soul. Even in suffering and persecution, He comforts me with the joy of His salvation. His loving care is ever present. He never fails. The Spirit of God works and speaks since the beginning of the creation. We, the new creation in Christ, need His grace to hear His voice, follow His guidance, to live for His pleasure. On this path of constant blessings, we are safe and secure. His pasture is green, His waters still, His love everlasting. Psalm 23. All Christians must be governed by the Holy Spirit and be on guard against the snares and enticements of the evil spirit. We are here to echo the teaching, reflect the manners, and practice our Lord's gospel. All our activities should be the necessary parts of this calling. He is our head. We are His members. Romans 12:5. Our personal care for our body and soul, honest labor to provide for our family needs, raising children in the nurture of Christ, supporting our fellowship, local and distant outreach, all we do should be in the name of our Lord. Colossians 3:17. We must refrain from wasting our Lord's time of our pilgrimage. Ephesians 5:16 and Colossians 4:5. there is plenty of room in the service to the Lord, and there is no lack of any help for real needs. In every situation appointed for us, we have opportunities to serve the Lord, to bless our brother and sister, and to reach out to the close or distant neighbors that are still under the yoke of bondage. Our Lord leads us. When my journey is ended, my loving Lord will reward me for all He has done in me. How great is our God in all His marvelous ways! How righteous and holy! How just and gracious! Blessed be His holy name! He alone has grace and power to keep my heart from hardness of unbelief. I need His correction always. Verse number 8, if Joshua had given them rest, then God would not afterward have spoken of another day. The writer of this epistle is not writing of Moses at this place, Moses leading the rebellious generation that left their bones in the wilderness. Joshua is one of the two faithful witnesses, and he led the younger generation trained not to follow their fathers. Numbers 14:6-10 and 26-32. When the children of Israel were oppressed in Egypt, they were restless. Once the Lord subdued to them all their enemies, they had rest in their promised land. Tragically, they broke the covenant with the Lord and committed whoredom and idolatry. If they kept the covenant of the Lord, they would have had rest. Deuteronomy 25:9 and Joshua 1:13. That rest in the promised land was a blessing and a privilege that no other nation under the heaven had. Yet, it was but a shadow of the true rest in the spirit of our Redeemer and Master. When we hold our hand in the hand of our Savior, and His Spirit fills our heart, we perceive that we have only the foretaste. I hope no one would oppose me in my perception that even the most inspired ministers of our Lord Jesus consider their best moments with the Lord down here only the foretaste of the heavenly glory. 1 Corinthians 13:12 and 2 Corinthians 3:18. David rested in the hope of the resurrection in Christ. Psalm 16, especially the verses 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:3 and 4 told us that even the revelation a man received concerning eternal glory is beyond expression in the present human language. I am not able to imagine, to perceive the beauty and splendor in the presence of our King of Kings. As we expect His appearance in glory, we are changed. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Verse number 9. There remains a rest for the people of God. That rest for the soul we have by trusting in our Savior and obeying our Father's word. The true believers were looking forward to the manifestation of that rest until our Lord's resurrection. Psalm 16. Since that day, all who believe receive that peace and rest. John 20:19-23. John the Baptizer said about Jesus, He must increase, I must decrease. John 3:30. This is that peace in the heart of the faithful prophet while he is facing much opposition and soon martyrdom. Verse 10, He that entered into his, God's, rest, he also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Before I was delivered from darkness and into God's marvelous light, my work was disobedience to my Lord and Savior. Now, in His grace, His Spirit's work in me is changing me into the likeness of God's Son. Romans 6, 5 and 11. What could now be my own work that is not His Spirit's work, which I should be diligent to refrain from? Hardness of heart through unbelief, slackness in doing His will, self-will and hypocrisy, greed and pride, avoiding cardinal sin and harboring many others, doubts, worries, fear, ingratitude, negligence, open rebellion, secret rebellion. All my inventions are going to deprive me of resting in my Savior's merit and rejoicing in His service. His Spirit's blessed lordship in my heart and His guidance in my daily walk is working in me righteousness, peace, and joy in His salvation. Romans 14:17. My prayer is, Lord, keep me from my will and in Thy grace. Verse number 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. In the Numbers 13 and 14, the Hebrews refused to follow God's guidance. They rebelled against God's will. In their unbelief, the goal was out of reach, the danger too great, and the reward too small. Why is that so? There are many traps of Satan beside, but not on, the way of salvation. Reading the Holy Scriptures from the beginning to the end, we will find an abundance of teaching, admonishment, warning, precepts, and commandments. It would be a very long study revealing many of their deficiencies and also ours. The story about the sower and the seed in Luke 8, 5 and on is giving us some insight into our need of replacing our carnality with spirituality. Some of the Hebrews did believe. Beholding a manifestation of God's power in a great deliverance, a believer grows more faithful, but a rebellious man becomes worse. What is the meaning of these words, let us labor to enter into that rest? The Lord Jesus Christ is our rest. When I give up my will in exchange for doing His will, I have entered into His rest. He is my help in every need and assurance of my salvation and life everlasting. I rest in Him and His Spirit works in me. Verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How long ago were these words written to the Hebrew believers? 20 centuries. I'm confident many thousands read and listened to these lines expounded to them. Many received this new life and power generated by God's mighty word. The grace and power of Christ's Spirit exposed our evil deeds and desires, heralded God's judgment, proclaimed grace and salvation in Christ, and saved us. The word of the Father through the lips of the Redeemer, Revelation 1:16, is the sharp two-edged sword used to offer our ransom, the Lamb of God, 2 Timothy 1:9 and 1 Peter 1:20. And in His appointed time, the same sword made cuts, exposing our enslavement to the evil one and delivering us from Satan. The Holy Spirit blessed us with godly discernment, thoughts, and intentions. He gave us new life in Christ. Verse 13. as we in our sins were not able to hide from the omnipotent and omnipresent God, so now we are never forsaken nor forgotten by our blessed Savior and Lord. In love He cares for us and never fails.